Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nixon makes the game-saving play in their own end zone. What a game. Halfway fired up. Great defense. And it's not a sixth game-winning fourth-quarter comeback for this Bears team. They showed a lot of fight today, KB. That was a valiant effort. Hell of a football game. A lot of times it comes down, like I said, one guy's going to make it, one guy's not going to make it. Today was a Packers day.
There's a handshake, and Matt LaFleur's Packers take over first place in the NFC North.
It's time for the Score Evening Show, weeknight 6 till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Shot. City! For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Any breaking news that happens on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Guests that will join us on the show will join us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. My guy Studs, Adam Studzinski, on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening here, and he has a fantastic lineup available to you. Paul Pabst of the DP Show will join us tonight, as will Lindsey Rhodes, former broadcast partner of mine way back in our NBC Sports Network days, but then also you've seen her all over the NFL Network. She's with Sumer Sports now, talking NFL on the reg, and Bruce Levine, you know him well, from Odyssey and the Marquee Sports Network as the winter meetings have proceeded in baseball, and we will get to things on both sides of town with Bruce later on in the show. I hope you are still feeling fantastic and wonderful out there on this Tuesday, as we're all kind of still recovering from what we saw at Lambeau on Sunday. It was a great game. I enjoyed it very much myself. The way I took advantage of a little space in my Sunday was I do Bears Game Day Live on Sunday mornings over on Fox 32. Really appreciate all of you who tune in for that. Numbers have been strong this season, partly in credit, largely in credit to the interest in the Bears. And folks are always tuned in and locked in on the Bears. But certainly when things are rolling, when the team is strong, a lot of eyeballs on all kinds of Bears products, and the consumption of Bears media certainly continues to uptick as the postseason nears. So it was fun. Finished that show Sunday morning, and then since the game got moved to the second window, we finish Bears game day live, myself, Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Nguyen. We get done with that. Oh, I can't forget Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer. They're there on the show with us in the final half hour as well. But finish all that up. I've got a few hours to kill in between. And so I shoveled the driveway, you know, made sure I could walk around without me or anybody in my family being at risk in the driveway in preparation for the game itself. But also, we had gone out, me, my wife, our son, we went out over the weekend, and for the second year, because this is year number two for us outside the city, living outside the city, and we got a real tree. So we did that over the weekend. It's the second year we've done this, and I grew up in a house where we did the fake tree thing, and my wife and I, for years, where we were in a condo, always had a fake tree. So we just knocked the dust off, put the thing up, and keep it moving, and we just had the same tree on an annual basis. She was accustomed to and had a kind of a joyful memory of the idea of, I don't know, real trees, live trees, whatever you call them out there. So she was very excited about being able to do that with the more space that we had available in our home now that we're in for year two. So this is our second year with a live tree. We went out and got it over the weekend. We're never real early to the fray doing this stuff, but then we leave all the decorations and the tree and everything up weeks and weeks after Christmas is over. We went out and got the tree. Now, for me, since this was a new experience for me, I didn't know exactly what to expect with it. But hey, you know, my wife's into it. Our son's excited about it. So they like it. I love it. You know, I'm like, all right, let's do this real tree thing and dive on in. Now, the good thing is, because I was a little bit concerned if the expectation when we first started doing this was that the expectation was I was going to be expected to, you know, go buy an axe from Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that and go, you know, trudging out through the snow into the wilderness somewhere and start hacking away at some big oak and then go dragging this thing by the stump back into our home somewhere. I assume there's probably some of you out there probably do something like that. I damn sure don't. I don't have any experience with that. I don't know how to wield an axe. But fortunately, that wasn't the expectation. We went to the store, and we got the tree, brought this thing home. I still haven't completely grasped what the legitimate difference in the ambiance is supposed to be. Kind of how you're setting the scene with this real tree, with this live tree. But since my family is emotionally invested in it, then I'm trying to become more emotionally invested in this idea too. Because I'd be cool just getting the fake tree, bringing the thing out the basement, and putting the same thing up every year. But what I've begun to realize as we're now the second year doing this, and part of it is supposed to be the smell. And, you know, many of you, go ahead, hit me up on the text line, 312-644-6767. You can continue to educate me if you do have either a strong opinion or deep experience with these real trees. But doing this for the second year, we're only a few days into the one this season. But one thing I did last year was I went out and got like some brooms, basically, that just smell like, they smell like outdoors. They smell like scented forest, basically. So I went out and got some brooms and put a few of those around the house just so that the house kind of, you know, smelled like what you hope the wilderness smells like, I guess. I've never been one to think, oh, those flowers smell so lovely, or that tree, the smell of maple is in the air. I don't know. Maybe it's a problem with my nose. I'm not sure. But I've never been too into that. But I'll say this. The real tree, the scent of it, you do get a sense of the outdoors. But then as much as anything, as we decorated and pulled out this memory and that memory and putting the ornaments up and wrapping lights around it and wrapping, you know, tinsel and twine and everything else, the tree itself and what it represents is really what this is all supposed to be about. And so I've gotten more and more into the concept of the real tree, the live tree, because of what it represents. Not as much to me, at least that's not the origin point, that's not the inception of it, but what it represents, what it means to the wife, the son, because of how much they dig it. And so I allow myself to get wrapped up into it. So I'm getting on board more and more with the idea of what having a live tree can really mean in our family moving forward. You got to water it. You got to take care of it. You got to put the nutrients in it. And as long as you take care of it, then things should go well for you moving forward. I was worried, like, all right, is it going to be too thin? And you're going to be able to see through the thing and all the bark everywhere? And there are going to be critters leaping out of it, Griswold style? Overall, the experience has been a positive one so far. Honestly, more so than I anticipated it would be. It feels a little bit similar to me to kind of what my expectations were for the Bears in this first season of Ben Johnson's second year of Caleb Williams. Because this is all still a drastically new experience, a new enterprise that the Bears are in. Yes, Ryan Poles himself is 4 years into this, but you've got the second-year quarterback now being led by the first-year head coach. And just a few days ago, deep into the season, 13 weeks in, the Bears were at the number one seed in the NFC. Now, I thought there was promise to this season. I certainly liked the potential that was here. But I wasn't expecting a stretch where they'd win 9 out of 10 games, get the record to 9-3, and be at the number one seed in the NFC in the month of December. I didn't think that would be a space the Bears would be in at this point in the year. And even after what we just witnessed against the Green Bay Packers, I actually leave that game more encouraged about what this specific season for the Bears can be, because there have been a number of times during the season here where I think the potential for the future of the Bears has been really, really positive, has shown itself to be something that everybody can be excited about and get behind with some of the young playmakers who've had growing roles throughout this year, and then certainly all the potential that's there at the quarterback position and with this head coach who we knew the prowess that Ben Johnson had as an offensive coordinator, a play caller. But as a head coach, he's been beyond anything I anticipated he could be, combining some of the best aspects of what we hoped Matt Nagy could be with some of the best aspects of what we hoped Matt Eberflus could be. And neither guy ended up being that. Matt Nagy didn't end up being near the offensive mastermind that was hoped when he was hired by the Bears. Matt Eberflus didn't end up being anywhere near the detailed, dictatorial sort of developer of culture and talent that we hoped he would be when he took the Bears over. Ben Johnson really seems to have the ability to tie both of those elements together, and it's a roster that now does look much deeper and much more talented, this roster that Ryan Poles put together that through the previous regime, what he had to do, tearing things down, starting to build things back up, didn't look nearly as deep and talented with other coaches in-house as what it does now with Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle and Dennis Allen and all these assistants operating in Chicago. So as we were out shopping for the real tree and putting the decorations up on the real tree, and as you know, we've been watering it and nurturing it and you know, putting all the nutrients in it and everything else, I've been thinking about the Bears in that context the last couple of days here, just thinking, you know what? This real tree, I'm actually digging it more than I thought it would. I'm more into this live tree experience than I thought I would be. And I'm more impressed by the Bears than I felt I would be. And even coming out of that defeat at Lambeau, first half, yeah, man, they couldn't really get out of second gear. They came out of the locker room in half number two with a different attitude, with a different approach, with different execution, and they roared back into that game against the Packers. On the road, at Lambeau, hostile environment, a team that's one of the better teams in the National Football League. If you tell me today, if you know there was some witch doctor out here, some soothsayer showed up at my doorstep right now and said, you know what, the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't call them crazy. And the thing is, Green Bay played well. Green Bay wasn't out there barfing all over themselves in that game Sunday. They balled out, and they outplayed the Bears. But the second half of that game, the Bears showed they are capable as a unit of, for stretches of football, outplaying one of the best teams in the National Football League. That's a test that we haven't necessarily seen the Bears have to be measured against that frequently. Yes, they dominated the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, the Eagles played like crap for much of that game. That's the difference to me. Dominating the Eagles with that version of the Philadelphia Eagles that seems to be falling apart right now, and, you know, they're still leading their division. Pretty sure they're still going to make the playoffs, and who knows? They may still turn a corner in the postseason. That's a great franchise with a lot of players of championship pedigrees. I'm not counting the Eagles out, but they're not playing good football right now. The Packers are playing really good football, and in the second half of that game, the Bears put it on them a lot, especially on offense. So I left that game kind of, you know, live tree, real tree style. I left that game pretty encouraged about what this team has the potential to become. 312-644-6767. Now, I'm known for, at times, painting a bit of a rosy picture. Now, just to be fair, and I guess square on this situation, you've heard me on this station. I don't have any problem telling you when the Bears are not getting it done on offense, telling you when they're not developing talent, telling you when some of these play callers on either side of the ball are doing things that don't make sense. But I am very impressed with a lot of what I'm seeing with the Bears right now. And to me, this is still the age of innocence for the Bears. And I don't know how you view this aspect of it, Studs, before we go to a break. We're going to open up the phone lines in a moment at 312-644-6767. But to me, this is still a season and even a stretch of football where I think it's fair to be more hopeful, to have, you know, to see the ceiling for the Bears as being higher this year in 2025. But to me, it's not like, you know, poop or get off the pot time for the Bears here. Like, they've got some seasons here to keep building this thing because of the relative inexperience of the head coach, the youth and inexperience of the quarterback, and the ability to continue to put, you know, to enhance this foundation that's in place. So not only am I hopeful, but also I feel very different about the stakes for this season than I will the stakes for 2026 and beyond. Like, it's not completely house money because it is 4 years in for Poles, but I'm not necessarily all in. You know, it's obviously not championship or bust time. Yes, Studs, I don't know if I'm giving them too much leeway here on how we should judge the results of this season, but I don't know. How do you feel about this particular, the 2025? Now that we've seen this start, do you feel like it's fair to say that, you know what, I want them to do great things, but if they don't, I'm still feeling really good about how things can look 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, I feel pretty similar. I think that I had, coming into the season, I thought they were going to win at least 9 games. I picked them to win 10. So okay. I was fairly optimistic about the season already. All However, right. In the last couple weeks, I have found myself thinking a little bit bigger than just, oh, I think they can make the playoffs. Now I'm at the point where I think they can win a playoff game. And now, again, kind of what you've been saying here, I won't be ultra disappointed, depending on the manner of the loss, if they were to lose a playoff, say their first playoff game, whether it's, you know, they end up as the one seed, which I think is still going to be a long shot. But anyway, my point here is that, yeah, like, I think my own expectations have been raised a little bit because they're playing better than I thought they would at this point. Like, yeah. I think they're just a little bit ahead of where a lot of us thought they were, which is, again, kind of what you've been saying. So, yeah, I think that if they end up winning 10, 11 games and go to the playoffs and lose to whoever it might be, then it'll feel bad in the moment, right? Because playoff losses suck. But I think that ultimately we will still look at the season as a huge success.
And maybe this is the way to frame this question at 312-644-6767. Is this a successful season for the Bears yet? And there's a lane this could go down for me where if things just, you know, if they lose to Cleveland in embarrassing fashion this week, which we've certainly seen this franchise do in recent years, they've had an embarrassing loss or two. So don't get me wrong about that. Things could turn here in some drastic manner where things look horribly wrong. Things go horribly wrong and look very different than they do right now. But as it sits right now, I'm willing to call this season a success for the Bears. and maybe I'm being too light, too easy on him. 312-644-6767. Is this season a success for the Bears yet? Curious for your thoughts. We are going to hear some of the sound from Coach Ben Johnson as well, especially as we continue to discuss. A lot of folks have varying points of view on that final play, that decisive play, the fourth and one that decided the game against the Green Bay Packers. We'll hear from Ben Johnson on that and on a few other topics that are of interest as this team has Cleveland coming up this week, Green Bay coming up the following week, and where they sit in the standings and how that the gravity of that will continue to shape the rest of this season for the guys at Hallis Hall. Would love to hear from you, not only on the phone line, on the text line as well, 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron here until 9 p.m. on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We had about two or three guys in front of, you know, either stacking Swift or right there with Swift. And so, you know, rolled out and saw Cole and tried to give him a, you know, a big boy ball, try and let him go up for it because I ended up seeing 25 starting to sprint. And so tried to slow him up and, you know, kind of give him a chance in those moments. It's, you know, got to have it moment. And they had a guy trailing me. And so didn't feel that I could go get it myself. And so just got to give Cole a better, you know, a better shot at it. I think, you know, next time just extend him a little bit more and kind of lead him. You know, but in those moments, you want to put the ball in play and trust your guy or, you know, try to have your guy go make a play and just got to give him a better ball.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
The voice of Caleb Williams after the game on Sunday against the Packers. Put it on himself, say, yeah, he's just got to put a better ball out there, get it out to Cole Kmet, and all would have been gravy. Now, that wouldn't have been a game-winning pass from Caleb. Even if you complete the touchdown there, Bears would still be trailing by one. Many of us believe that Ben Johnson would have gone for two, and then we would have, you know, been able to see how the Bears would have fared in that scenario. But didn't come down to that. Nixon makes the pick, and game is essentially over at that point. But I put out the question a moment ago. Has this already been a successful season for the Chicago Bears? And I'm not prone to just kind of taking stakes off the table for the remainder of the year, but I also do try to keep these things in a relative degree of perspective. So I wanted to hear what you thought about that, especially knowing that there's still great potential for where things go from this point. Let's go out to the phone line at 312-644-6767. Bill is out in Bridgeport. Want to talk about these Bears. What's happening, Bill?
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Great. Hey, yeah, I think the season is a huge success compared to the last few, right off the bat. But my question is about this Kyle Manung guy, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
With his running style, the way he just attacks the line, you know, as violently and stuff, is he built for this? Can he sustain this? I mean, it's fun to watch, but I'm just worried, you know, it's not going to last long, you know, and do we have, you know, get your opinion on this?
Yeah, it's a valid question, Bill, and I appreciate you making the call here. Kyle Manung guy is about 5'8", about 205, maybe 210, something like that. So, I mean, for a guy of his height, he's got a thick lower body, and he runs with force. And it's one thing to run with a relative degree of power. That's always been impressive. I called a number of his games during his Rutgers career for the Big Ten Network and, you know, have watched his entire career up to this point between college and now being with the Bears. This is just kind of who he is. He's going to get north and south with urgency. He's going to look for a crease. But if a crease isn't there, he's going to put his soul into making a crease, whether there's an offensive lineman in the way, a defensive lineman in the way, multiple bodies there. But he's going to be really decisive as a runner and then get downhill with urgency. And what we saw in the game the other day against Green Bay, you know, kind of similar to there was a game back in 2024, the game the Bears end up losing, the most disappointing defeat of the 2024 season was, of course, the Fail Mary. But in that game, they were set to get blown out by the Commanders until DeAndre Swift led them back into the game with some urgency to his running style and elusiveness in the open field and big-time playmaking and explosive touchdown running. Sometimes you get some juice in different ways. And in that second half against Green Bay, the energy giver for the Bears was Kyle Manung guy, and the offensive line seemed to start feeding off of that. The Bears as an offense seemed to start feeding off of that. You know, credit to the Bears defense forcing a three and out on the initial series. But Manung guy, really in the first half as well, give him credit for that. But then certainly in the second half of the game, we saw a lot of images of Kyle Manung guy just running with anger and trying to unleash on tacklers. Now, Bill from Bridgeport's question was, is he built for it? Can he sustain it? It's tough to say. It really is. I don't know. The human body is really only built to sustain so much of this stuff in general. Like for me, I was usually anywhere from like 6'3", 260 to 6'3", 285, just kind of depending on what scheme I was in and whether a team wanted me to play end or tackle. And regardless of what my size was or what scheme I played in, I was always nicked up. My back was bad. My knees were bad. My shoulder was jacked up. Surgeries on the feet, surgeries on the hands. I was just one of those guys who was just always breaking something or tearing something. And it was just surgery after surgery, head to toe throughout my career, and recover from the surgery and try to get back out there. And, you know, some careers are just sort of marred by that. And that was whether I was in the NFL or the Arena Football League. I was just always hurt. I was just an injury-prone guy. And that's how some bodies operate, some people's body, you know, holds up or lack thereof in the sport of football. Kyle Manung guy, he didn't really have an injury-plagued college career, even though he got a bunch of touches at Rutgers. And so far, he's been super healthy in his Bears career. So he may just be a very durable individual, even though he's not physically imposing in size or in stature, but in style, he is very physically imposing as a runner. And his running style does seem to be something that the Bears feed off of when he's in the game. I think he and DeAndre Swift have worked out to be a really nice pairing in the backfield. Is this style sustainable for 12 or 15 years of football? My guess would be no. But I don't know, man. I have no idea. You know, I'm certainly not going to sit here and try to put a ceiling on Kyle Manungai. And he has never been one in my evaluation of him to try to put a ceiling on himself. But there could be things that he will continue to learn and evolve from also. And I do think, you know, as much as I think DeAndre Swift, even though he's the veteran and the more proven commodity in this league, there are things about the style of Kyle Manungai that I think DeAndre Swift has sort of taken into account in his style of play. I think Kyle Manungai has also maybe added a little bit of DeAndre Swift's creativity when he gets to the second level and not necessarily always looking to just run that next guy over when he breaks free and gets into space. So they seem to play off of each other really well. 312-644-6767. Vince is out in Gurnee. Got some thoughts on what we're discussing here with the Bears. What's up, Vince? You're on Score Evenings.
Hey, Ann, thank you so much for taking my call. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm curious, and this might be a little bit of an overreaction, so I'm curious to hear your response. Do you think that we're giving Ben Johnson a pass when it comes to his play calling? Because I can't help every game, it seems like there's a third down where it would seem like a very obvious play call coming up, or even the fourth and ones and fourth and twos. And so often it seems like there's always some creative play that's called instead of just a straight up, you know, power football, you know, I formation, right up the gut run pass, or just a nice, easy like a crosser or something like that, like an in slant. You never see the Bears really run those cookie cutter basic football plays, even in the times where it seems like that's the perfect play to call. And Ben Johnson has said sometimes he gets kind of in his zone out there and he forgets what's going on. So I'm just curious if any of that is causing us for pause for you at all as we move forward to the end of the season and, you know, going into the offseason.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Vince. And I've been really rough on some Bears offensive play callers over the years here since I've been working at the station and working over at Fox 32. Ben Johnson, for me, so far, and, you know, we're not even a full season into this here, but so far he has earned the benefit of the doubt from me. You know, like the fourth and one, the Bears' last offensive play of the game the other night. Go to the third and one, he ran inside zone. He just handed the ball to Manungai, and, you know, Ozzie Trapillo let a guy across his face, and he lit up Manungai in the hole, and it's a tackle for no gain. So now you're at fourth and one, and it is the play of the game at that point. So there's certainly a case to be made that you just run it between the tackles again because there have been some success throughout the game with that. Your offensive line's been balling. But you get stuffed there, the game is over. And also, even if you don't get stuffed, now you have two timeouts left and there's less than 30 seconds to go. So there's more than enough time. If you convert that, you call a timeout, you got one timeout to go, over 20 seconds on the clock, and you're well inside the 20-yard line. So that certainly would have been an option. But then also, you don't have the ball in the hands of your playmaking quarterback. And what he seemed to look to do that schematically did work out because of where the clock was. The goal of that drive was to leave as little time as possible, or perhaps no time, for the rebuttal drive from the Packers. So once you get down to that, you know, they were at, what, 26, 27 seconds when they're running that final play. You put a touchdown on the board there and get a chance to either tie the game or take the lead. Because it's fourth down, that's where that decision, the rubber kind of meets the road there as it's fourth down. You didn't convert the third down on the inside handoff. So now fourth down with that little time remaining, then to try and perhaps put the decisive touchdown on the board, to at least give that option within the play call, I didn't have any issue with that. Now, big picture wise, to Vince's question about Ben Johnson, I do think for a guy who is thought of as this offensive guru, the guy with all these creative play calls, exotics, trick plays, whatever you want to call them, deceptives. He's got plenty of those in his bag of tricks. But what we've seen as much as anything in recent weeks, a willingness from Ben Johnson to just have Caleb turn around and hand the football off. And he's done that plenty. Now, the motions, the window dressing, the eye candy that's there that can end up throwing the defense off, that's a part of what creates many of the run lanes that we've seen exploited by one of the top rushing attacks in football. So, you know, I don't really have much of an issue with the play calling from Ben Johnson. Things are going to be imperfect, and he himself admits that when there are calls he'd like to have back. So I'm certainly not here to say Ben Johnson is a perfect play caller. And I think there's been two games this season where the defensive coordinator for the opponent have had the upper hand for certain stretches on Ben Johnson. I think that one was the second game against Minnesota. I thought Brian Flores had the upper hand on him for a lot of that game. And I felt like we saw Jeff Hafley for a good amount of that game at Lambeau the other day. I thought he had the upper hand schematically on Ben Johnson with some things that were going on there. Still didn't stop the Bears from putting points on the board and scoring frequently in the second half and driving the ball within that game. It was just two really good schematic minds going at it, and I thought Hafley got the better of Ben Johnson, you know, frequently enough there, but the Bears still moved the ball and put points on the board in half number two. So it was a fun game to watch that part play out, but I think to Vince's question, I don't really think Ben Johnson gets out over his skis too often. I actually like the fact that he's one of these really creative minds that's willing to keep it basic and simple, especially when the Bears get into 4-minute offense mode. There's one game, forgetting the opponent, if it was against Minnesota, maybe it was, or Pittsburgh, where they just went lead weak and iced the game just when they needed to get into field goal range and kick the decisive field goal. So, I'm good with Ben Johnson and his play calling, but appreciate the call, appreciate the questions. Speaking of Ben Johnson, we'll take a timeout. We will hear from the head man of the Bears. He addressed the media after an opportunity to go back and evaluate the film from the game. You'll hear from the head man of the Bears on his thoughts, not only from the game, but things and how they're looking moving forward for your Chicago Bears. A few minutes away from talking to Paul Papps about not only the NFL, but some of the big news coming out of college football as well. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off.
Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Score Bears.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
So, I was checking out the text line a little bit earlier just as I put out the, kind of the comparison of me and my family getting a real tree first time last year. Now we've done it for the second year. Got a bunch of texts about that. One of the first one was, Aunt, I suggest buying a live tree in a pot after Christmas, put it outside and plant it in the spring. Appreciate that. You might be an arborist or something like that. But one of the other ones I got early was, my wife and I have done live trees for the past 5 years. We are traveling for the holidays this year and got a fake tree for the first time. I can't see us ever going back to live. I got a kick out of that. Real trees rock and some other things on the text line as well. But yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised by enjoying the real tree experience, the live tree experience in my household as much as we have through the first couple of years of doing it here. 312-644-6767. Feel free to call or feel free to text about the topics we're discussing throughout the show here. Ben Johnson, Bears head coach, always having things to discuss, as is the case. And so not only did he address things about your Chicago Bears during the postgame Sunday, but of course addressed the media again on Monday. One of the first things he was asked was about, of course, that fateful and final 4th-and-1 play call.
We talked to Caleb after we talked to you about that final throw to Cole, and he said that the difficulty of it wasn't a problem, but he was thinking too much. When you watch that back, like, what execution-wise should have gone differently for him with that?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him yet. We're going to watch the tape together after this, and I'll get a better feel for when he says he was thinking too much, what that means. But yeah, from my perspective, it was a play that had a lot of options, just like I alluded to last night, and Cole happened to be the one that popped the most. And it's a good play by Nixon for them. He came off of his guy and made a play on the ball. But had we seen it a little bit sooner and given Cole a better chance, I think we would have been pretty happy with that result. So I still feel the same way I did last night on that play.
What's interesting about that final play is it was the same play where the sort of the decisive touchdown against the Eagles was run, and Caleb saw it and fed the ball to Cole Kmet down the field. But some of the factors that were different were, of course, the Bears were trailing in this game against Green Bay, and it was 4th down with less than 30 seconds on the clock in this game against Green Bay. So the factors in executing that play are different. So, Caleb feeling like, maybe he could have gotten Nicole a little bit quicker or being a little bit indecisive or however he sort of phrased things. The potential to take off and run on a 4th-and-1 is there to keep the chains moving. And so there's stronger consideration given to that. But then also because it's 4th-and-1 and you got to do something, you either got to convert the first down in that moment or you got to convert a touchdown in that moment because you're trailing and because there's such little time remaining in that game. So all the factors under consideration for Caleb and how quickly he has to process those with the gravity that they have to be processed with, it's a very different circumstance from where he was in the game against the Philadelphia Eagles, where, yeah, you can go and apprehend that jugular as he did with the touchdown pass to Kmet in Philly. But this is a different scenario because the Bears are trailing. So basically, he's trying to determine, do I use my legs to keep us in the game? There's several different Packers in hot pursuit. Maybe I get there, maybe I don't. But the play is called as several pass options on that. There is a run option for Caleb, but there's several receivers out in this flood concept that they're running to the left side. So DeAndre Swift pretty quickly gets covered by Green Bay, But to even consider Swift in that moment is to potentially take the safe pass and the controlled route to move the chains, get a fresh set of downs, and then the entire playbook is open for you with, you know, you had two timeouts there. There'd likely be one timeout to go in that moment. So the scenario ends up impacting how the play gets executed and whatever degree of hesitation might have been there from Caleb Williams in sort of pulling the play off. The clock management was something else Ben Johnson was asked about in that final moment.
Just wondering if you could walk us through your thought process there in those final 2 minutes and letting the clock run down as you guys did.
Yeah, I think that was actually really well done by the whole team there on that one. You know, you get the ball back with 3:30 and you got a decision to make. Do we go as fast as we can? And if we stall out, we get another possession potentially, or do we go ahead and let this one be the last one? And, you know, we went with the latter. I feel really good about that. I feel really good about how we moved the ball down the field. Felt really good about our execution throughout, minus the third and one and the fourth and one there at the very end. So with a quarterback playing as well as Jordan Love was playing in that game, you know, they had 8 possessions and 4 touchdowns, and he was finding receivers down the field and explosives and all that. The last thing we wanted to do, well, let me say this. The first thing we needed to do was score a touchdown, all right? But the last thing we wanted to do as well is give them enough time to respond because of how dangerous they had been on offense. And so best case scenario would have been scoring a touchdown with under 30 seconds there and then letting our defense go out and hold down the fort there for the very end to win the game. But we didn't make enough plays there on that last drive to earn that, right?
You got to remember that rebuttal that could have come from Green Bay. If the Bears immediately go into hurry up mode and let's say they score a touchdown and tie the game or even take the lead, between the way, the level of play that was there throughout that game from Packers quarterback Jordan Love, the same Jordan Love who's been there pretty much every November and December, like down the stretch of these last few seasons, Jordan Love has been playing at an elite level, and he did it again on Sunday against the Bears. They didn't have him under any real physical duress, whether it was from their front four or via the blitz, and when they did, he wasn't under enough mental duress to do any more than the one mistake that was there in the first quarter with that interception he threw to CeeDee Deuce. So if you score, you're factoring in what we've seen from Green Bay against your defense throughout the game is that Green Bay is at least going to be in a position likely to kick a game-winning field goal. So to be the last squad with the ball, that's precisely what Ben Johnson was hoping for. And everything along those lines was going according to plan until the interception. So from a clock management perspective, I had zero issue. And I've been surprised. I mean, you know, folks are going to have their questions after a loss, so I get that. But it seemed painfully obvious to me that the Bears managed the clock really well. And a part of that is because the offense was executing at a really high level. I mean, think about that. That pass to Devin Duvernay, of all people, that moved the chains. I mean, you know, there were some big-time throws and catches and execution that put the Bears in position for what ended up being the decisive interception. But I thought a lot of that was managed in a pretty pristine way by the Bears coming down the stretch. Things to build from, things to grow off of. We always like to grow on the airwaves here. We do that when a guy, Paul Pabst, joins us. He will do that next to open up hour number 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.